Oh, y'all, come on, talk back to me today. Good morning. Middle schoolers, you're welcome to go along with Jonathan. Hey, while they are going, can we put our hands together and give God praise for our worship team this morning? Oh, come on, we can do better than that. They led us into the presence of God with excellence and with a heart posture to help us to point our affections in the right direction this morning. I'm so grateful to be with you all today. My name is Raymond Monk. I have the privilege of serving as a pastor of Ephesians Missionary Baptist Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm going to ask you all to help me out with this. I got four of my sons with me. I need a few of y'all to help me settle this debate before we leave this week. All right, y'all good with that? The debate is, who is the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Let the people speak. Who is the greatest? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yell it to the high heavens so they hear. Hear ye, that has been settled. I want you guys, thank you so much. I just want you to know this young man over here, he has already been tested for drugs and he is fine. He's been rattled a little bit on this whole LeBron kick. Listen, I'm looking forward to this week of us getting a chance to discover and be reminded of Yahweh is so many great things. And today I want you, if you have a copy of God's Word, to look with me at Daniel chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 21 and then we're going to go backwards to the beginning of the chapter. Daniel chapter 1. And, you know, I often remind our church of this. My first rap tape was by a rapper, a hip hop rapper. His name was MC Bree. And I remember it so well. It was a white cassette tape with black writing on it. And it said the name of the song was called Ain't No Future in Your Frontin'. Would you look over at your Bible, your neighbor's Bible, make sure they're in Daniel? You know how it goes. Sometimes some of us be in church flipping through our Bibles, we're not really in the right place. And I want to tell you, if you're having trouble, in all seriousness, I want to encourage you to go to the table of contents. It's the place where all of us have had to start. Daniel chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 21 first. And it says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, and it says, and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Go backwards with me to Daniel chapter 1. We'll look at verses 1 through 5 together. And it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord God gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. I'm going to just stop right there for today. I want to talk about Yahweh is worth living for. Yahweh is worth living for. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father and our great God, we are so grateful and thankful for your mercy, your love and kindness towards us. We ask that you would speak to us this morning. All this week, would you help to slow down the busyness of our minds and let us hear from you? We need to hear from you. And so we say today, bread from heaven, feed us until we want no more. Would you unstop our ears, remove the scales from our eyes, and allow for us to behold the wonders of your word that is able to save our souls? Today, Lord, we ask that you would save the sinner. Would you draw the backslider back to yourself? Would you encourage the believer? Do it all now for your glory and for our good. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hey, family, you know, while we're here at family camp, so we're all family, even if we met each other for the first time. I want you to know I'm just your brother on your daddy's side. Because we all have the same Heavenly Father. And one of the unfortunate realities that many of us have been introduced to is that the use of social media has showed us that success can happen, and we can believe it can happen in 60 seconds. It's what we get glimpses of in reels and in posts. If we be honest, most of us are not showing the more challenging sides of life. We're always revealing the best sides of life. And over this week, we're going to get a chance to look at one young man who I believe has the longest tenure of successful leadership. His name is Daniel. We start off reading Daniel chapter 1, verse 21. It told us, and it says, and Daniel continued until the year of Cyrus. Of those of you, I want to help you out. I know many of you all graduated Sunday school, cum laude, but I want to make sure you pass the test next week in Sunday school. That here is a young man, we're seeing the beginning stages of his life, that for more than 70 years, he maneuvered through multiple administrations, different languages, changes in innovation, and he was able to remain relevant, listen to me well, for more than 70 years. I think there's something that we can learn from a young man like Daniel in the earlier stages of life about how we too can have sustainable impact, not for our namesake, but for the glory of God. And so today, as we look at Daniel chapter 1, you and I get a chance that I love that the Bible doesn't sanitize the lives of the characters that get lifted up before us. Their lives are not perfect. Even we see in the lives of the disciples who Jesus had handpicked, these men had flaws, and you would have thought that since Jesus is the author of God's word, he would have sanitized their lives a little bit. I'm so grateful the middle schoolers are off. Can we just have an honest, real conversation? Wouldn't you, if you handpicked some people, wouldn't you want to kind of erase some things out of the script? I mean, to think about the fact you invested 3.5 years into some men, and one of those men actually denied you in front of others because the pressure was on them. I mean, or even just that same man who would go so far to start using profanity to say he didn't know you, to escape what he thought was a threat. Well, here in Daniel chapter 1, we get a chance to see a young man who achieved a pretty remarkable level of success, but his life was riddled with problems earlier on in his life. And here for Daniel, it's something that's relatable for many of us because there are some of us that are here today. Our lives have not been picture perfect. Although we're here at family camp and it is ideal to be able to see other families together, it would look like their lives are picture perfect and that they leave from here and camp continues with walking with God. But the reality is that that's not the truth. That's not always the case in all of our lives. And so here in Daniel chapter 1, we get to see a young man who experiences what happens when parents and guardians are disobedient. Because the first thing we learn from this passage in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, is that the consequences of disobedience eventually arrive. The consequences of disobedience eventually will arrive. It tells us, it says, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand. Here is Judah, who had ignored several warnings from God to change your ways. I want to ask those of you who are here today, how many church services have you been in that the Holy Spirit has arrested your heart that this is not supposed to be a gradual change? There needs to be an immediate pivot. Are you hearing me today? And you and I, we changed for a moment because we felt guilty. But are there a few of us that can be honest today while we're out here in God's beautiful amphitheater that all of us are perpetually entertaining some pet sin that it's not so easy to let go of? Thank you so much for your honesty. And here is the thing. If you don't starve that pet sin, it's going to keep telling you to feed it. And if we be honest, sin always takes you further than you ever intended. And when you end up there, you never could have imagined it would have dragged you this far. and here is a nation of people. Listen to me well, and I want to start first because we can't have strong families with adults setting poor examples. Daniel chapter 1 shows you and I, adults, who their selfishness, their desires to please themselves, their decisions to not, listen to me well, to allow Jesus Christ to be Savior but not Lord. Oh, there's a difference. There's a difference between accepting Jesus as Savior and believing he's your get out of hell free card, but there's a whole nother call to allow for him to be Lord of your life. He calls the shots in your life. When you want to do something else and the Holy Spirit speaks, you and I are to submit to his will, his desire. And here are some adults, listen to me well, they were playing the church role really well. They showed up to Sunday worship like a good Christian would and should. But however, when they went home, their lives were something different. Can I tell you today and remind you, our God beholds the evil and the good. There's no concrete that can block out his vision. There is no darkness that's too deep. I'm telling you right now, on your phone, Safari's private browser can still, that record is still being kept by Almighty God. And when they dismissed his warnings, listen to me well, because so often we hear so much about the grace of God, but we got to be reminded about the judgment of our God. Because there is a day, there will be a day, there will be a time that if you continue to water down the grace of our God, he will have to show you also the judgment of our God. Oh, I want you to stop and think about this for a moment, especially for the adults that are here. How many of us are living a life you never could have dreamed or imagined? Most of us are having experiences in life right now our grandparents never could have imagined. You quite possibly have been to countries. You drive an automobile that costs more than possibly your parents' home, their initial home. And because of this, we've become arrogant that we think we have achieved this level of success of our own accord, and we've forgotten that if it had not been for the grace of God, we would not be where we are. And so what does our God do? He shows us through Daniel, and I pray you hear me well, that if you don't change what he gave you, he'll take it away. Just as quickly as he gave it to you, he will take it away. And the most damaging part of this is that the children had to become collateral damage. Oh, church, hear me today. Here are some adults that made some poor decisions. They had to see everything be taken away. But more important than losing your house, your car, your boat, maybe even losing your travel reward points, the children had to deal with the heartache of losing a parent and being separated from a parent and dealing with the disappointment that I got to live with my parents' poor decisions. There are some of us that are here right now, we are still recovering from our parents' poor decisions. But here's the encouragement I want to offer to you today earlier on as we continue to progress is that you're born looking like your parents, but you die looking like your decisions. I'll say it again for the sanctified slow. You're born looking like your parents. You die looking like your decisions. Because here are these young people. They lost their home. They lost their family. They lost their culture. And they became collateral damage, listen to me well, for something that they didn't do. Oh, I want to tell you today that you ought to use this week not to let it be a gradual change, but this week you're going to pivot to obey God. This week, your life is going to come into alignment. This week, not next week, not progressive. No, I got to keep on going and try this out for a little bit longer. No, this week, I got to pivot because my children's future is what's at stake. And I want to say even to the teenagers that are in this room, don't take for granted that you think you got a really long runway. That many of us adults know all it takes is one bad decision. And just like you throw a rock into a still water, the ripple continues on well after the splash has happened. And so for these young people, they experience this difficulty of being separated from their families. And because the parents have continued to disobey God, their children then become exposed to being redefined from what God had chosen. Here is in Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, Babylon didn't simply just capture Daniel. They intended to reshape him. What may I ask those of you who are parents that are here, what would happen if you were taken away tomorrow? What if for some reason, by God's grace, today was your last day? How much of a sense of urgency do you feel to pour all you can into your children, knowing that tomorrow is not promised? Because we're going to learn in the next few days that these young men had the right seeds of God's word planted into their lives. They were able to stand firm on their Christian convictions because, listen to me well, there. And sometimes in our lives, God doesn't give us the parents who have the biggest impact. He sometimes surrounds us with hidden figures. And we're going to get a chance to see, looking at this, the book of Daniel in the next 2 weeks, I believe there are also some people who are unnamed who made a significant impact in the lives of these young people for them to have, listen to me well, where many of us have to shift beyond simply having belief to having conviction. Because if you just got belief, you'll show up at whatever church you belong to faithfully and be there on time. But real conviction is living out what you hear on Sunday throughout the week. And so two things I want to just hit, and then I want us to break out to some questions here. Because many of us need to discover and accept that God's grace is still present even in the middle of judgment. If you still got your Bible open, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, the Lord gave them into their enemies' hands. Do you see this? Babylon was never in control. The addiction was not the one in control. God is the one who released control and put them into exile. He was the one who preserved Daniel. He is the one who preserved his promises. He is the one that preserved the hope of restoration. And judgment was not God's final word. It was his grace that continued to sustain his people. I want to say to you today, you may not have chosen your circumstances, but God has not abandoned you in them. And because of this, you and I got to come to accept that Jesus is still worth living for. Because Daniel entered exile because of another generation's failures, and Jesus entered our world because of humanity's failures. Daniel was taken from Jerusalem. Jesus left heaven. Daniel became a servant in Babylon, and Jesus became a servant to sinners. Daniel experienced captivity, and Jesus entered our suffering. But unlike Daniel, Jesus willingly bore the judgment that we deserve. Before we end this time of sharing together, I want us to get a chance to have some conversations. Because so often we hear the sermon, we hear a Bible study lesson, but there's some things that we're wrestling through. And I'm going to ask the media team, if they would, to just put up on the screen for us. Here are a set of three questions. This is what I want you to do. We want to break out into groups. No more than 6 people in a group. Here are the rules. Everybody's got to say something. No one person can dominate the conversation. Y'all help me out again. Everybody's got to say something. No one person can dominate the conversation. Here are the questions here. Daniel's early faith was likely formed long before he arrived in Babylon. What values did your parents or caregivers intentionally or unintentionally pass on to you? What positive qualities from your parents do you want to continue in your life? And what unhealthy patterns from your family do you want to break? I want you to go ahead, break into small groups, no more than six in a group. And we're going to take about 8 minutes to just breeze through these questions, come back together, and get a chance to share out together. Let's go ahead. Let's dive into some groups. Let's have some conversations. Let's go.